Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Everybody thought it was New England, yeah. Kansas City, atop the AFC. Be honest, is there another team that's kind of snuck into the conversation past KC?
Yeah, there's another team.
Deshaun Watson puts the Texans in front.
Ooh, there's another team, and I'm liking them.
92 yards!
Defensively, they're stout, and they have a running game.
Baltimore has taken their first lead.
It is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, come on!
I can dig it!
When we listen to you after a game like Thursday...
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see.
We sometimes hear frustration in your voice.
If you don't learn from things that you have already made mistakes on, I think that is frustration.
Right now.
The defenders of defense.
Maybe think on it first. Sack attack. Not great.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Bill Belichick will join us in this hour. We do it live, of course, down here at Gillette Stadium. It's interesting because we saw Gronk in his first little network TV debut on Thursday night. And this morning on the Greg Hill Show, Greg asked him about going out and seeing if he could go and recruit Gronk to come back.
I love that guy. I'm so happy that he's enjoying, you know, his time. And I'm happy that he's enjoying his life. And he seems to really be doing a lot of great things. So he knows how I feel about him. And I want what's best for him. And he's the only person that can make those decisions. So I don't lobby for those things. You know, I have a great relationship with him. He's given appreciative and, you know, for what he's brought to the team and what he's brought to the region, because I think he's just a very special guy. He's at a different phase of his life.
Tom doesn't sound like he's ready to come.
He won't lobby.
Come back, right?
No, you believe that?
Well, publicly.
Monday night, Julian Edelman goes down. Do you believe he makes a phone call to Rob Gronkowski?
Says right there he's enjoying a different part of his life right now.
I know he's enjoying it, but I just think, you know, that
what would it really take, though?
I think it would take an Edelman injury.
It would have to take, and I said this at the Super Bowl last year, he would have to be convinced by number 12. Number
you just
12,
said he will lobby for him, though.
No,
you believe
well,
him?
No, I don't, but I think because if I don't let's, I just let's just say
Tom's
that.
Tom's lying?
Let's just say
no, he's fibbing.
that Edelman does go down.
A little different. Yeah.
No, I do think, listen, I know you say you don't want to, but this is a real issue we have. Can you do me this solid? Can you do me this favor? Come back for me.
2 weeks from now, Edelman goes down in one of the, and Ben Watson is 38 years old. He goes down.
He's got, yeah.
Ben Watson's on the IR in 2 weeks. Comes back, just didn't work, something happens, whatever. Edelman goes down for a while.
Then Gordon goes down.
You don't think Tom picks up the phone and just says, hey, you know, I mean, our defense, Rob, this is unbelievable. We don't have to do that much, but... You know, I got nothing, man. Like right now, my weapons are you know, N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, and Gunner. You know, if I had you, hey, we can run the football better, you know, and get you more involved. You don't think that happens?
But Tom, I'm enjoying working for Fox.
All I'm saying is I think that's kind of what it would take. It would take, you know, let's face it, both these tight ends, you don't know what they're going to be like, Izzo and Watson, if they're going to stay healthy or not. There'll be maybe a need at that position. We all know there is one anyway. But if a guy like Julian Edelman goes down, I could see Tom sitting there, like, wondering, well, now what the hell am I going to do? Sitting, driving home with Giselle. Now what am I going to do?
Get him on the phone.
What am I going to do now?
Talk some sense into him.
I mean, really, well, I mean, what? Jules is down. Like, how am I going to move this football? I know our defense is great, but I got to move the football, don't I?
So technically, they have to do it by week 13. You cannot bring a player that's in this reserved, retired zone or whatever. Can't bring him back after that week. So he's got to be on the roster for week 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, got a few weeks.
It sounds, again, I feel like this is the Antonio Brown situation.
Better chance of this happening.
A better chance of Gronk coming back?
Yeah, than Antonio Brown coming back? Yes, because he didn't talk about the parlor and Robert Kraft.
That's true. That's true.
He doesn't need to apologize to Robert Kraft.
And thank God Ben Watson didn't tweet anything.
I don't think he was going to do that. He was very careful what he said to us. Yeah. You really believe is zero chance of Antonio Brown? There isn't a little
zero.
Tiny opening?
Zero chance.
Okay.
10%
for Gronk. Let me give you a situation. Monday night, you go into Jersey, and your defense does a great job, and they limit the Jets to, let's say, 10, 13 points, and you can't score at all. You can't move the football. And you get beat 13-7.
I think you trade. I don't think Antonio. You really think Antonio Brown? There's a chance that this guy can come back after the way this thing ended.
I think there's very little chance. I'm just throwing it out on the table. Do we completely dismiss the Patriots 100% that this will never ever happen?
I would say yes.
With AB,
yes.
Yeah, it's Gronk. Officially Dunsky. Yeah. There's just I'm sure they. I do think that do they regret overreacting? A little bit, probably.
Suppose he goes with the Players Association in the next 2 weeks and pressures the league, and the league has to say something to the Players Association because you can't keep the guy in limbo. And if he is told that they're not going to put him on the exempt list, then what happens?
Well, then I think there's a robust offer for him somewhere from someone, but it's not going to be the Patriots.
The reason why he's not here has nothing to do with the exempt list or suspension.
Yeah, it has to do with the text, which they overreacted to the text.
Fine,
probably.
And then he countered and overreacted and blew up the bridge.
Yes.
By tweeting out about Robert Kraft.
Yeah, that's it.
It's got nothing to do with the league says, yeah, you know what? He's active. Week 7, he can play. They announced it today. I don't think Bill walks into Robert Kraft's office and says, hey, by the way, Antonio's eligible to play. Yeah, he was eligible to play week 3 too, and we cut his ass.
Yeah, you think like Antonio Brown if it was going to get the kiss on both cheeks?
No, here's what I think. I think you guys are wrong about the Gronk thing. I think it is more likely right now that Tom Brady is getting into somebody's ear, Kraft's ear, or whomever, and sitting there going, you know what? We overreacted with the AB thing. You know, we could really use more so than Gronk, because he looks at this guy being with the team. Now, he was talked about it this morning when Greg asked him why he's looking so frustrated during these post games.
No, I think it's probably a lot of different emotions that you feel from week to week. And I don't think it's just pure, because you win, it's not like there's 100% jubilation. I think when you lose, it's not like there's 100% disappointment. It's probably a mix of a lot of different things, and it's the whole spectrum of things. When you think about the game, the important thing is to win the game. I mean, really, that's the only reason why we play is to, you win or you lose. I think as you project out, you start thinking about, okay, I know it worked tonight, but we better figure this out or else this is going to come back to beat us. I think that's probably having 20 years of experience. That's the benefit of experience, is using the experience to make good decisions. If you don't learn from things that you have already made mistakes on, then, I think that is frustration.
See, I think Brady right there is just admitting what we all said after that game on Thursday. To where, like the Thorntons of the world were, like, tweeting out, like, up 21, can't wait to hear how people, rip this game. Meanwhile, your quarterback, after the game, sounded frustrated, didn't know if his offense was good enough. But right there, like he said, yeah, it was good enough to win this game. But 20 years of experience, I asked that, is this going to be good enough down the road?
Right.
This is what you do. This is what we do. This is what fans, the Patriot Nation, do. Unless you're just a honk. You watch a game, and even Brady admits it. It's not just people in the media. Brady's admitting it. Yeah, we won that game. But looking ahead, is this going to be good enough? We need to get better. So that's what you do. You look at it and say, there's not much depth at that wide receiving, moving the football. This offense right now is struggling. Your quarterback admits it.
So in the first hour of the show, we were talking about Kansas City, the fact that they've lost the last 2 weeks, and the reason that they've lost is they can't stop the run. So we're sitting here talking about what the Patriots need to do to beat Kansas City, because I think we still believe Kansas City is the second-best team in the conference. So why are we spending so much time talking about going out and getting wide receiver? Really, if you think about it, if they fix the running game and they can have a commanding running attack against the Kansas City Chiefs, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the weak spot right now with the Chiefs. The fact is that the Patriots don't have great weapons right now in their passing game, but even worse, They can't run the football.
So after 6 weeks, do you still think that the Chiefs are the number one obstacle the Patriots would have to overcome when they get to the playoffs?
I do, and I think the way you beat them, and you saw it last year in the AFC Championship, but you got to run the football.
See, I would say this. You know, and everything is just you react to what you've recently seen, and we have seen them the last 2 weeks. I would say right now there's a very good chance that they don't come to Foxborough for the AFC title game.
No, I think
because I think there's a lot of teams that can attack them that way, and I don't think Houston is a very good running attack. They haven't been all year long, and Carlos Hyde was running hard. I mean, they struggled stopping him. So you know, right now. After what we just saw, I know you're reactionary, but it might be Houston, and they're going to have to prove that there's something different than they've been in the past.
I think maybe Deshaun Watson is
the difference.
But that's the problem. It's still, we've seen it out of the Houston Texans. The one thing I would say about Kansas City is the quarterback right now is hobbling around with that ankle. So all bets are off. You tell me, is that a sprained ankle? Is that a problem for him all season long?
Maybe.
Because if he's healthier, we've seen him. He runs out of the pocket. He makes amazing throws. He can't do that right
even
now.
With
he's
that
a pocket
said,
quarterback now.
Yeah, even – well, no, he isn't. He's not a pocket quarterback in any – no, he isn't. Not
well,
at
he's,
all.
Well, he's not effective running anymore. Right he's now, still, he's not effective.
He's still – I would say that has a lot to do with what the Texans were doing. And would you agree with this? That the fact that the Houston Texans should have blown their asses out. They left tons of points on the board. Will Fuller, who had like a million catches and a bunch of yard, had like – I mean, he could have had three touchdowns.
The one that he was wide open that he came back on and just flopped on the ball.
I think the Texans severely outplayed the Kansas City Chiefs just like the Colts did the week before at home. So now you have two losses to two teams in the AFC, and you're the Chiefs. And when I was watching that game, I was like, fine. So the Colts were able to dominate at the point of attack offensively, chew up the clock, take up lots of time, and then finish when they did do it. And then, sure enough, the Houston Texans did the exact same thing. I looked at that. I was like, well, the Patriots can't do that. The Patriots don't have the ability to dominate the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care if they are 30th in the league. They don't look the same. Now, maybe because they haven't played a team that is as bad as the Chiefs. The Giants, their defense was pretty bad. One of the worst in the NFL. And you were running, you were using your quarterback to run for it on fourth down. You're going to get third and fourth down.
So that was my question. Do you really have to fix the passing game? If you want to beat the Chiefs, really what you have to do is you have to find a way of being able to run the football right now and run it right down their throat. That's what you need
to
do.
So here's the good thing, though. The good thing is that you get almost like a pretest before the important game. You're going to play them during the regular season.
I think you can play them both. You can play Houston as well.
Yeah.
And I think that game, you know, what's different? First off, Deshaun Watson is different from the years walking in here with a varsity jacket, right? I mean, he's played him a couple times. Remember that first game here? That was almost like a Pat Mahomes type of game. Yeah. He made some mistakes. Yeah. But meanwhile, down the stretch, remember you needed that last second catch. Was it the Cooks touchdown at the end?
Yes.
To beat that team. Second time you came in, they were limited. They had a bunch of injuries. All they had was DeAndre. But they're pretty much where they are right now. And I wouldn't even say they're not leaning on DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he's having a down year right now for himself. It's other guys. You know, Will Fuller. They got, you know, Kute. I mean, they've got two tight ends. They're probably a better, well-rounded team than Kansas City is right now, and they have a dynamic young quarterback as well.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Here's Pat Nagawam. Hey, Pat.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
So I wanted to propose a couple things for you. One is a trade for a wide receiver nobody's talking about, but what do you think about this? What if they were to bring back Antonio Brown? If he were to settle all of his cases and apologize personally to Mr. Kraft, not through social media or any of that crap.
What was the question?
Is that the question?
That seems like a statement.
Yes, yeah. I don't see it happening.
All right. So listen, here's a guy that nobody's talking about. He signed a 2-year deal. Only one half of his contract is guaranteed, and you wouldn't have to get creative. You wouldn't have to get rid of somebody like Bennett to make the numbers work. Devontae Parker from Miami. Right. They suck. They're going nowhere, and they're familiar with him because he plays in the division. What do you guys think?
I'm a yes to everything. I mentioned that guy a couple weeks ago. I'm a yes to every single, you know, middle of the road. You know, I don't want anyone like lower than, you know, it can't be just an average guy. So we need a guy that actually can have some impact, and he's one of them.
Wiggy talking about Keenan Allen now all of a sudden, but I just don't see that happening. I mentioned Devontae Parker a few weeks back because remember we were talking about we're fishing in the wrong pond.
Yeah.
We're trying to find these $11 million wide receivers that you can't get until week 9 or week 8 because you can't fit them under the roster, whereas a guy like Devontae I think is making like $4-4.5 million, and he's under contract for next year. But is that the type of guy, not that it's all about satisfying Tom, but is that the type of guy he's looking for? I think you can bring in a younger, you know, tight end that can help block, but when it comes to wide receiver, is that going to be good enough for him? You know, a guy like that.
I don't know. I just go back to the running game itself, and is Ben Watson the answer for blocking to so you can open up the outside in your running game, which they've not been able to do to this point? I don't know.
Blocking tight end is the biggest issue. Why isn't Allen here?
That's a great question.
Dwayne Allen.
He's still around, right? He's on nobody's roster. He's probably ballooned up now, right?
Who knows? He was hurt during the preseason, too. But I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, if that's the biggest issue, is a tight end that can set the edge and block. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's the biggest issue, but it's
one of
definitely,
them.
Yeah. If that is the goal, if the whole offseason and every year you're just trying to figure
Ben
out
Watts is
how do you
just clean up the edge?
No, I don't. I think he's better than Izzo.
Catch the ball every
he's better
once
than
in a while.
Izzo, and he's a legit passing threat more than Izzo, more than Lacoste.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I get he's old, but to me.
It's an upgrade, but it's still not necessarily what you need to open up your running game. Okay,
you have.
And Isaiah Wynn coming back obviously will help if he comes back. What if he doesn't come back? Well,
and
have we thought about that possibility? Oh. I know we've looked at the fullback and said Devlin's probably not coming back, but if don't get Wynn,
he's also in the category of like we talked about with Jimmy G. You know, I mean, this guy could come back, but do we know if he can play 6 games in a row? Do we know if he can play 3 games in a row?
No, we don't.
I mean, he's hurt all year last year. He got hurt this year after missing a lot of time in camp.
Who?
Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, that's the guy where you're like, well, at least Newhouse is getting reps. At least Newhouse is showing you, okay,
is that
here's
a good thing or a
bad
thing?
Well, here's what it's going to look like
if he can't come back.
He's
that's
got
durability.
The worst case scenario.
Right?
Yeah. The guy's terrible. But if Isaiah Wynn comes back, he immediately goes back into the lineup. Like, right away.
I agree. And you know he can play.
And same with N'Keal Harry.
You don't know how long he can play.
See, to me, I think.
That about him yet.
Once you get into the latter part of the season. And if we still believe that Kansas City is the team that you need to beat, the running game has got to improve dramatically. Right? It just has to. If you don't have that running game, you're probably going to have some issues. You got to be able to run the football. Look at the teams that are beating Kansas City right now. They're just
But how do you beat the Houston Texans? It's less about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's more about the Houston Texans.
It could be.
How do you beat them? Maybe they're better suited to beat the Houston Texans than they are the Kansas City Chiefs. Just as far as personnel and what they can do.
Well, they seem to have a pretty good track record in the past history, but with that team, right?
No, yeah. Well, they have a great track record against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, at least the Chiefs have beat you, but it was a while ago when all those guys were young. Patrick Mahomes wasn't even on the team.
By the way, talking about that, here are the odds. They're out. Football Outsiders. Based on playoff odds simulation. So they simulate all these games. I don't know how they do that, but whatever. Here are the odds of when the Patriots will lose their first game this season. Tell me which game you think it is. I'll give you the games. Jets,
Philly.
Cleveland, Baltimore, Philly, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, Cincinnati,
Houston.
Buffalo, Miami.
It'll be Houston.
Philly.
It
Baltimore.
Is the, it is Baltimore. 27.1%
really?
Chance of losing their first game would
man.
Be in Baltimore. The second highest odd on the books. Is the Jets game on Monday night at 21.7. So it's 21.7 against the Jets, which, you know, is pretty good odds. Cleveland, 8.2%, so they're not buying it's going to happen in that game. Baltimore, I told you, 27.1. In Philadelphia, 16.7.
So they're thinking that Jets is like a sneaky, game.
Trap game.
Yeah,
see,
trap
it was
game.
In, if it was in New York... You know, Pats have a little extra time to get ready for the Jets. If it was in New York, right? Maybe you would feel that way. But it's in New England, correct?
It's in New York.
It's in New York? I thought it was in New England. It's in
New York. No, the game's in New York.
Okay,
it's not in New York. It's in New Jersey.
Yes, sorry.
It's in New Jersey.
Well, then yes.
Yes, it's in New Jersey. Yes. So you got Philadelphia, but that's 5 weeks down the road, 16.7%. And who knows? Maybe the Eagles will be healthy. The biggest problem with the Eagles right now, health-wise, right? Dallas. 5.9%.
How about the Kansas City Houston?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Houston, 7% chance. How about that? They have no value here for Houston, and Kansas City even worse. 3.5% chance they lose their first game.
Well, if you look at the bottom, they got a better shot of going 16-0 than they do of losing to Houston or Kansas City or Dallas.
Right.
I think we're reading that Football Outsiders data wrong. I think it's progressively going down. So going into that given week, will they be undefeated?
Yeah, so the chances that later on in the season you're not going to be. Right. So really what you're doing is you're taking the first three or four. And yet, this one is much tougher than the Cleveland game. That's what they're claiming. Then Baltimore is more difficult than going to Philadelphia. And those are both road games. Hmm. And then after that, you're right, Tyler. It starts diminishing, mainly because you've used up 21%, 8, 27, 16. So they think by that you might lose it. Yes, you might lose by that point. That's what it is. But I'm with him on this Jets game. I do not believe this Jets game is going to be an easy game on Monday.
Well, they're riding with a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence, a lot of attitude. I hear the Jet guy that does the J-E-T-T-T-S guy, that he's all in flame, a Fireman Ed, whatever his name is. Fireman
it's
Ed.
A different offense, that's for sure. It's not incompetent like you faced a few weeks back, where it was just, okay, because of your quarterback, the only weapon is Le'Veon Bell. Now, as you saw, I mean, Le'Veon didn't really go crazy against Dallas either. But all of a sudden, now you're throwing the ball to Crowder. Now you're throwing the ball deep to Robbie Anderson. So, yeah, it's just a different – and Demaryius Thomas, by the way. Who do you have 4 or 5 catches?
Yes.
So, I mean, it opens up everybody. I think when they were – I think was it Romo that did that game? He was saying, you watch film of the Jets, and you're watching these wide receivers, and you're saying, he's open, he's open, he's open, he's open. But having had a quarterback able to get it to him. Now things change a little bit. Darnold, by no means, is a top 5 quarterback. You just wonder if he's competent, and he's shown so far that maybe he is, especially last week.
But is he better than what you've been facing
every week?
There's
no question.
You, in the last 2 weeks, have faced two quarterbacks, okay, a career backup guy and a rookie, and you've struggled in the first half.
Well, I would say it was vice versa the other way with Daniel Jones and against the Jets. They didn't have a quarterback in New York to make those weapons look like anything, and Daniel Jones didn't have any of his weapons.
Yeah.
Like, if Daniel Jones had Sterling Shepard and Ingram and Saquon,
yeah,
that would have been a different story.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't even know what the hell he is, because he had nobody to throw the ball to. So he looked awful. And like, the Jets looked awful because they had no one that could actually throw the football. So it was just for different reasons both those teams sucked. Now you got a little combination of a quarterback coming back with all his weapons.
Let's go to Brennan and Sandwich. Hey, Brennan.
Hey, how we doing?
We're doing. How are you?
I'm doing. I was thinking about it, and you were talking about Isaiah Wynn potentially not coming back. I know Trent Williams is still not playing for the Redskins. Is that a possibility for trade? Thank you.
I have no idea what the Redskins are thinking in the Trent Williams. I mean, he's never going to play there because he's pissed off at the way the medical crew dealt with his injury in the offseason. What are you waiting for?
He's
you're a franchise
a
that's going
money.
Nowhere.
So what? So you're not, right. And you're not paying him either because right. he's not coming in. You're not paying him. Right. You've won one game. You probably won't win another one. So what? Stay out.
Listen, us saying Isaiah Wynn's not coming back, that's doomsday. Like, I'll even admit that. I think that they fully expect this guy to come back. The only question is, his durability has been an issue. We expect him to come back, but for how long? And you mentioned it's like N'Keal Harry, and I would disagree. If N'Keal Harry played like week one, and had 7 catches on 9 targets, 90 yards and a touchdown, and jeez. Then got hurt.
Best case scenario.
Well, I'm just saying, and then got hurt. Then you would sit there and say, okay, at least I've seen this guy do it in an NFL game. Like, we saw Isaiah Wynn do it for just a game and a half.
Yeah, I just feel like he's competent and athletic enough, and he is a first-round pick, and that's not like act like he's an undrafted free agent. Well, I would say that, and it took him some time once he got going, based on what the offensive line did last year, he was pretty good.
He was good in what we saw of him.
Listen, he's going to be a better option than...
Yes, Newhouse? Yes.
No, I'm talking about N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry is going to be a better option than any of the guys you have out there, except Edelman. I mean, Dorsett, I don't even know what his deal
is. Sure he's going to be better than Gordon?
I'm not
yes,
sure.
Yes, I will.
Well, then that's best case scenario.
You are so down on Gordon.
Wait, is it not obvious now?
No,
why have you not figured it out
well,
yet?
Before well, before the season started, he thought he was going to get 1,000 yards.
I'd say he was close to having 1,000 yards last year.
But wait a minute. Gordon it plays at a much higher level. He hasn't recently, but he plays at a much higher level than anything we've seen of N'Keal Harry.
When does Josh Gordon play at a high level?
He did last year. He was the receiver that you counted on for 11 games.
Does it look like he plays at a high level this year?
I just said the last few weeks he's not the same guy.
3 weeks, but the entire year.
Well, he's had his moment. You're being unfair to him now.
Look at his catch rate.
He's had his moment.
Hey, his catch rate is maybe the worst in the NFL.
I know. We're talking about all these weapons, whatever. I want to play another sound from Brady this morning because he got into this long-winded answer when he started asking him, because obviously he played off of Gronk and, you know, he wouldn't lobby for his return. You know, he's happy for him and everything. And I think Greg asked him, like, do you ever get involved in personnel moves? I want to hear this.
I think that the one position I'm in is he and I, you know, we always talk football. We have open relationship for 20 years about our, you know, team. And, you know, when he asks, you know, I certainly have opinions and so forth. But as I said before, like, that's not my role, you know, and I think there's part of me that, and I've said this before, that, you know, from my standpoint, I'm a player. You know, I'm a player like everyone else. I'm not in a position where I make authoritative decisions. So you can't become attached to making authoritative decisions because then you just get disappointed when those are things are out of your control.
Yeah.
And I think for me, you know, when you're in a position to make those authoritative decisions, or, you know, then that's what your job is. You know, my job is to do what I do, which is to try to play quarterback, realizing that a lot of those decisions do impact how I play quarterback. But, you know, I also have a lot of trust that our organization, you know, is trying to win games too.
So for me, it goes back. He says you don't want to get involved in it because you just want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, you could also get excited if you're involved in it because you actually lobbied for a player that you got.
Yeah, but I think he's giving you the reality of it.
The reality is that he's too positive of an individual.
Correct, to get pissed.
He doesn't want to emotionally get involved with the roster
right.
and get mad when Wes Welker leaves or Deion Lewis leaves or Danny Amendola leaves or you name the wide receiver that has left. Logan Mankins to protect him has left. Nate Solder is gone. So he doesn't want those negative. He doesn't want it to be emotional for him. So he's just, you know what, whatever. Whoever's here, I play with. But then he also admits that these moves affect him as a quarterback, which they absolutely do.
I find it hard to believe, though, that he doesn't, in some of those conversations with Belichick on why certain things aren't working, he's not sitting there going, we need somebody that can do this. We don't have somebody that can do that. I just find that hard to believe. We've seen too many times when he's been wired up on the sideline or wired up elsewhere.
You think he sits in a room one-on-one with Bill and says, Bill, we need help. You got to go get somebody. You think he actually says that?
Oh, what are we doing? Or maybe it's phrased a different way.
Yeah,
maybe
I would say,
it's, hey, what are you guys doing? Because they're watching film. They still meet.
No, we just said right? that. Maybe he's telling him, we don't have anybody that can do this. We don't have anybody. You want somebody to do this. We need somebody who can come in here and do this or do that. I think he phrases it differently, but I find it hard to believe that he's a shrinking violet and he's just accepting all of this stuff and whatever they bestow on me, just put me against the wall. I'll do whatever.
I don't buy it.
You do?
I think he does.
You think he's like just lets him.
Can you give me a player that maybe he's lobbied for that they've kept? Philip Dorsett out of camp? I mean,
Well, we're not going to know which one he kept or which one he said that guy can't do it. There have been times in which you've sat here and said, why is that player out of here? Why is that player out of here? I just think I find it hard to believe that he's got this much invested into it. And I think that's a politically nice little answer to give that, you know, it's above my pay grade and I don't do it. But come on. He's emotionally attached. This is everything to him. We know how much.
See, I think those conversations you're talking about are the ones he has with Josh, not the ones he has with Bill. I think he'll sit down with Josh and be like, Josh, you know, yeah, this play is there, but you know, we don't have a guy that can pull this off.
No, I'm certain
we don't have. You know, so I think he and Josh are having those conversations, but I don't think he's having them with Bill.
Well, that makes sense. He's having them with Josh, but you tell me that he's intimidated and he can't have them with Bill because I don't buy that.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's what this country's built on.
I don't buy that. I don't.
I do.
You?
Trending.
You don't want to answer it?
No, I don't. Actually, you know why?
No.
You want to know why?
No.
Because I didn't even hear the question.
Time to trend.
No trend on that.
It's Columbus Day for the big guy. He's Italian. Yeah. It's Columbus for me. Day. Why did Columbus use different the Spanish ships? Why didn't he go in the Italian ships?
Well, I don't know. I'm amazed Lou is even here.
I'm dedicated.
We've got Bill Belichick coming up in the next sec.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Here on OMF, it is Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Time for us to sit down, talk with the coach. Brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider. Needham Bank. Can we be your bank and buy your Boston area Mercedes-Benz deal? Bill, how are you today?
Good, Glenn. How's it going?
Hey, coach.
Hey, Coach. Lou.
6-0, a win on Thursday night. Now you got all of this time off before you play on Monday. So give it you a chance to maybe look at some stuff through the first six games, a little extra breathing room before this next game to figure out what you need to really work on?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely gives us opportunity here, third of the way through the season, to look back and try to just see where we are on some things and take a look going forward.
Yeah, I want to go back to just the Thursday night's game real quick because you guys stayed in one personnel grouping almost the entire second half. I know it's not unheard of, but I know every win is important and it's rewarding, but was this one a little bit more rewarding based on the fact that how you guys were able to navigate it and just kind of overcome all the adversity that you guys had to deal with in that second half? Injuries?
That's the NFL, so it's always challenging, but yeah, we had some guys really step up, and we didn't have a lot of flexibility. So I thought the players, coaches did a good job of managing the situation and making it work.
So guys like Jacoby Myers and Gunner, I know Brady's talked a lot about, you want to rely on your veterans, the young kids. Maybe it's not fair to count on them, but those two guys in particular, along with Izzo, I would imagine, stepped up and maybe not a normal role that they're accustomed to when everybody's healthy.
Yeah, no, those guys played a lot of football. But again, that's the way it is. You go into the game, you're one play away from having to play a lot at whatever position you play. So that's the way it worked out, and they did some positive things. Yeah. It wasn't perfect, but they did some positive things.
When you look at your defense, and it's been so good, is it tempting sometimes to be careful as to what you say on a daily basis to the defense? Because I know a lot of these press conferences you do, people are trying to get you to say this about Jamie Collins or this about another player. They've been terrific, don't get me wrong. But we're six games into the season, and I know you always take the very cautious route when you're dealing about the completion of what it is at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, we're week to week, so whatever happened last week or didn't happen last week, because I don't know how much bearing that has on this coming game. So we have to prepare for this game and get ready in all three phases for the Jets and what they do and how they're going to attack us and what we can do about it. So that's really where we're at this week. It's not about what did or didn't happen in the past.
But you know the outside noise. This is a historically great defense.
Yeah, that's the way it always is. Right. Yeah.
What do you think of the nickname, the Boogeymen, for your linebackers? They've come up with this thing.
Yeah, again, worse folks than the Jets. Yeah. I'll let them worry about that.
Coach, there was Jacob Johnson is on IR. It's been reported that Ben Watson was re-signed. Just want to know if there's anything official on your end. Okay.
No, it's not.
Got a roster spot, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yach's going to go on IR. Yes.
So Yach's on IR. Devlin's on IR. So no fullback. I guess no technically fullback on the roster. Can you guys, anybody on the roster that could jump in there and play that position?
Well, again, that's kind of the first question we had, is kind of looking at where we are and what our options are and seeing what we can do. So that's what we're looking at.
So is there like a Richard Seymour type that you can put back there, a Tom Ashworth or a Dan Klecko?
I don't think Dan's on the roster.
a type of that guy, a guy like him.
Yeah. Again, it's a question of what you want to try to do, what your options are, and what the commitment is and so forth. So we'll look at all of it and try to do what we think is best.
You know, I know today you talked about getting N'Keal Harry back and what's in store and what's in front of him as far as physically, mentally getting back into this. I'm just curious, going back to camp, what you saw in him, obviously first-round wide receiver, big physical guy. What did you see in camp that maybe would get you excited to have this guy back, or just think that he can help you in a few weeks from now?
Yeah, well, we only saw him for 2 weeks in camp. He was injured in the Detroit game, and he's making progress, but he had a long way to go, and some time's passed, so he's been able to do some things. There's been other things he hasn't been able to do. So if and when he gets back on the field, then we'll move from there and evaluate those areas.
You're talking about getting back up to speed, you know, practicing at a level you guys are at right now. Is it hard enough probably for a veteran to kind of miss this amount of time, let alone is it even harder for a rookie coming in and trying to get reacquainted with Brady in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to rank them, but it is what it is. We'll take it one day at a time, and whatever we can do, we'll do, and try to improve from one day to the next and see where it takes us.
But he's been getting mental reps, and he's in meetings, sitting with the team. It's not like he's...
Yeah, sure.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
A bunch of coaches this weekend are displeased. Not a single coach won a challenge for pass interference, the new rule this year, Bill, or the no call in week six. The original call has been upheld on 24 of the past 25 PI challenges. And it looks like they're trying to prevent a disaster from like what happened in the NFC Championship game in New Orleans. Does it in any way, looking at the results of that, taint the way you would throw the red flag out there and challenge one of these PI calls? Because when you look at the replay of these, certainly it looks like it could be overturned. And even the guys, the analysts, who are the former referees who are sitting in the broadcast booth now, are sitting there going, I don't know what they're seeing. Clearly, that's pass interference, but they're not calling it. They're not overturning it.
Well, I think it's been pretty clear that the league's come out and said it has to be clear and obvious. And what the definition of that is, I'm not sure, but it's. I don't think there can be much gray area, or they're not gonna. It's not clear and obvious. So, I mean, I can see most of what they've. I haven't studied all of them, but a lot of the ones I've observed or been in our games, I can see why they were called the way they were. Look, there's a lot of close calls in this league. I mean, so many calls go either way. It's so competitive. The athletes are spectacular, and it's such a fine line. But when it's not clear and obvious, then they're clearly not going to overturn it. They've said that.
So clearly is something that they're trying to prevent what happened in New Orleans last year. So if you get something that in any way is that you think is close, you're going to pass on it.
Well, no, I didn't say that. We would look at it if it's obvious to us that the call was missed, then I would challenge it, yeah. But it would have to be clear and obvious.
All right, so Sam Darnold this week. I'm assuming you probably already, if you didn't watch the game, maybe you already kind of evaluated it.
Yeah.
How has he changed? Only second game of the season, so maybe there's not much there. But how has he changed since last year?
Well, we saw him in the opener against Buffalo. I mean, Sam's a very talented player. He's a big, strong kid that can make all the throws and is athletic and run and is strong in the pocket. He can hold off rushers and throw guys hanging on him and that type of thing. He has a lot of confidence, and I'm sure they have a lot of confidence in him and the things he can do.
This changes their offense, I would imagine, from the last time you saw them, obviously. He kind of opens things up more, you know, rather than Luke Falk back there at quarterback.
I mean, Sam's a very talented player, and, he made a big throw to Anderson, but he had several good throws in the game. Yeah. Hit a lot of play-action passes, and again, is strong in the pocket, and he's a hard guy to bring down.
You know, I'll go back to that game on Thursday night. You guys, in that goal line situation, I know Brady ran a couple of them in, And because of the injuries up front, I know that one time Bolden actually got the ball at the goal line. What went into that as opposed to maybe Sony Michel, who normally is that goal line guy?
Yeah, on the touchdown.
The touchdown, I think he ran it in.
Look, Brandon's a big back. Brandon can play on all downs. So can Sony. So, I mean, whoever's in there, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It wasn't personnel or anything, or just...
Oh, I mean, we substitute different people for different reasons, but it's every time we put Sony in and run the ball. I mean, pretty much anybody can figure that out, Lou.
Hey, says Brandon Bolden earned more reps based on his accomplishments and just kind of always kind of making plays when he gets the opportunity?
Sure he has, and he's gotten some opportunities this year based on, James White missed a game, and Rex has missed a little time, so, he's kind of our fourth back, but really become our third back in situations, and he's a good one because he can play on all four downs, first, second, third, and of course, fourth down, so he's a very valuable player for us.
Getting back to Darnold and the Jets, Do you think they'll open some stuff up? Adam Gase is a terrific coach when it comes to quarterbacks and whatever, because of the skill set that Darnold has compared to what they've used, that they're probably going to open some things up on Monday's game.
Well, yeah, Adam's a very good play caller, coordinator, and game planner. We certainly had plenty of trouble with him in the past, and had some with him in the first game this year. So I'm sure that he'll create problems for us, as he always does, and he has a good quarterback. He is very good running back and excellent receivers and tight end that can all catch and be productive and, have different roles. So he does an excellent job of using those guys. He used, Powell and Montgomery as backs along with Bell last week. And same thing with the receivers. Moves them around at different locations and, mixes the tight ends in and so forth. So his game planning is good, and I'm sure he'll create problems for us. He always does.
Is there a certain method that you teach to deal with Levy and Bell? He seems to be different than most runners. There is that stutter step day where he freezes you for a split second. Is there something to the way you defend a guy like that, running back?
Well, like any run back, if they have space, it's trouble. If there's no hole, then it's hard. So best thing we can do is not let him get started, and that goes for all backs, just to play with good gap control and leverage and maintain our position and not create those spaces for him. It's easier said than done, but that's the objective.
Yeah, I don't know how many times you've actually gone against Greg Williams, whether as a head coach or a defensive coordinator. I'm sure it's a lot because you guys have both been in the league a long period of time.
Yeah, it's been a few times.
Yeah, but what's the most challenging thing about going against a Greg Williams defense?
Well, they mix it up. They'll pressure, they'll play man, and then they'll play zone. And they have different ways of doing all those things. So, but they keep you off balance. But you know you're going to get pressured one way or another. So they attack the line of scrimmage, and they have good players on the front, very disruptive players on the front. And then you have to deal with secondary pressure, linebacker pressure, and what looks like pressure, but it's not. It's coverage, and it could be man or zone backing out of it. And so he does a good job of keeping you off balance, keeping you moving, and forcing communication on your line and with your blocking patterns. And if you make a mistake, then they can send a free runner in there. So
kind of like with Jamal Adams on the 2-point conversion in last night's game, they go for two. Jamal Adams comes from depth. I think it was depth. Sneaks his way through there, and it was a big part of why that play was incomplete.
Right. Well, Dallas is in an empty formation, so they had five blockers. Jeff brought six guys, so somebody would have been free. The rusher got there about the same time Prescott released the ball, and it was an incomplete pass. But that's anytime you bring six against five, somebody's gonna be free. So that's
right at the middle.
You just got to beat it. Yeah.
We were just talking big picture on the league. Like last year, it seemed like these offensive-minded teams were the better teams in the league. Whereas this year, yourself and Buffalo and San Fran's more defense. Do you see a trend? Do you see, because it seems like all the penalties of the league changes rules kind of helps the offense, yet this year it seems like the better teams are the better defending teams. Is there a trend?
Some of those teams I haven't even seen. I haven't seen San Francisco. I'm sure they're good, but I'm just really going to focus on our team and try to get us ready to go this week against the Jets. It's really all we can control, and that's where our vision is.
you know how this works nationally. You've got a guy like Edelman, and people look at him as a small little slot receiver. And
squirrel.
Yeah, a little squirrel. And when they're talking about the real productive receivers in the league, they don't include him in that group. And a lot of people are doing that right now. And you watch this team on a week-to-week basis, and you obviously see how valuable he is in moving those chains. But even more so, and that it's clear he's been beaten up. He had the rib issue or whatever the hell it was. And yet he keeps on showing up, perfect attendance for you every single day and every single week. I mean, how valuable is that? Because you see him, you know how much he is to your offense. I'm not sure nationally they're viewing it that way.
Yeah, Julian's a very important part of the team. He's very tough. He's a good route runner. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's a good blocker. He really helps us a lot in the running game. He's made some key blocks for us to get guys started on the perimeter plays and to block the force on the inside plays and off-tackle plays and things like that. So he has a lot of key roles in the game, and he does a great job of them. He works very hard and takes a lot of pride in his job. And we know he's tough, and you know he's taking some hits, and he gives some out. But that's his style of play. He's been a good, very good player for us for a long time, and he's doing a great job this year.
Still can get separation even in a double team, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's got good quickness, good route running ability. He ran a good stutter move on the combo's quarter coverage, and Tom made a good throw. We had great protection. So plenty of time to execute that play, but those are things you sometimes got to take advantage of. If they're doubling you, then sometimes there's space in those doubles if you can hit it right.
I was curious if you saw any of the taped, or probably on tape, whatever, any of the comments from Rob Gronkowski's debut on Fox.
No, I
missed
it.
Did you happen to see him pregame?
No, I missed it.
Well,
I think I was busy.
He was a joke. You were
coaching that night. That's right.
So Robert Kraft did say some interesting things to the NFL Network about his retirement papers not in. I know Brady talked a little bit about it this morning, and I'm just curious, a guy like this, retirement papers aren't in yet, is it sort of door open type thing, or it's up to Rob Gronkowski to feel if he wants to play again? How do you approach with a guy like that sort of floating out there?
Yeah, well, just working on the Jets. You'd have to ask Robert about those comments, or Rob, or I don't know, somebody else. But just trying to get our team ready to go against the Jets on Monday night. That's what we're on, and we'll do the best we can.
Do guys ever, guys on the team ever give you recommendations like, hey, sign my cousin. My cousin's pretty good. Or
my nephew.
You're my nephew. That's happened. Well, I mean, I'm speaking from
I've
experience.
Never heard that before.
I promise he's good. No, because, you know, that's the other thing. You know, Brady was talking about lobbying for, he doesn't lobby for players. I just wonder if, if some of the guys say, hey, listen, I'm not sure. Maybe there is a fullback out there and somebody knows a fullback that may be on the street that's maybe trying to get in the XFL and, hey, here he is, fullback.
Yeah, no, sure, that's definitely happened plenty of times. And we go to players quite frequently, especially guys that have played with a player somewhere else or maybe in college or something like that. And if they know about the player, we'll ask them about him and, you know, weigh that in with what else we know. And, sometimes that carries a lot of weight, you know, when they have firsthand knowledge of the player's skills that may not be as evident from the outside in. When you're on the team, a lot of times you're just more familiar with what the guy is if you've covered him or played with him or so forth. So, yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, I'm going back to the fullback because is the fullback one of the hardest positions to find because they're not used a lot as they used to be, and there's not a lot in college anymore. I mean, there's not a lot of options.
Yeah, well, right. There's not a lot of fullbacks in college. Yeah. I'd say probably at least half of the fullbacks or close to half of the fullbacks in the NFL aren't fullbacks.
Converted.
There's like James Devlin. Yeah. That was a college linebacker. Yeah. And so there's plenty of guys like that, too. And then there's some other fullbacks that are kind of halfbacks, like the Patrick Pass variety, or, Heath Evans was really a big back at Auburn and became a fullback. So just the true fullback position is it's not common to find those, and but that doesn't mean you can't develop one, but I'd say they're not a lot of them just sitting out around out there.
Yeah.
Do you have to change up a lot if you don't have one, because you've used one quite a bit here in the last few years?
Yeah, when you say quite a bit, I mean I don't think we've had a fullback on the field, you know, over 30% of the time very often, somewhere in the, I'd say, 25-30% range. So, and some of that situational, goal line, short yardage, and 4-minute offense, things like that. So certainly there's a place for it, and it's been a key part of our offense, but there are plenty of plays where we don't have a fullback on the field as well. So if that's what it is, then that's what it is. If we can work that out, then great. Then that, you know, we'll do what we feel like is best. Try to figure it out.
All right.
You ready? So here we go. Drum roll, please. So here's our drive of the week, but I'm going to change it. I'm not going to do drive of the week.
Oh, all right.
Boy, wrinkle. So it's going to be a surprise. Well, Lou kind of screwed it up for me, but I'm going to go back there. I'll talk to you about it later.
Throw me a...
How'd you get blamed for this?
Yeah, it's
thank you.
Ball.
Does this all the time, Bill.
Please. So the drive of the week is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers and the Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event going on now through October 31st. I thought the nickname was kind of interesting because people are trying to, you know, looking at your defense and how historic it could be, and they want to attach a name to it. So over the weekend, I did a show with Jermaine Wiggins, and I just want to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on Jermaine Wiggins, his suggestion. Defenders of defense.
Yeah, I'm not getting into the nickname business. We're just trying to.
How about the Sticky Bandits? Wait, have you ever had a nickname? Did you grow up? Do you have? Because I know Glenn's was Little Earl.
It was not. Lose,
yes, it was.
I've been called a lot of things. Yeah, I've been called Lose a lot was, of things.
Would you be surprised if I told you Lou's nickname was Mouse?
I was a little guy.
He was tiny.
A little tiny guy. What do you want me to tell you? Squeaky.
What a shock. Bill's not in the nickname business.
Well, everybody grows up with a nickname right? No
yeah,
nicknames
but a nickname
at all?
For a defense. Yeah.
Well, we're not in the nickname, but I was curious if you ever had a nickname. Like your crew growing up.
Like I said,
up.
I've been called a lot of things. So.
Yes, you have.
A lot of them will keep off the air here.
Yeah, you can't say them on the radio.
Good.
You just go buy a Mercedes.
Conversation with the Coach is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on and off the field. Monday night football against the Jets. So I guess we'll see you here on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday.
Good luck Monday night.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
see you later.
Great right,
Coach.
Lou, thank
right,
you.
Good luck.
All right.
Bill Belichick, right?
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here on OMF.
Four. Last call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting
no,
you go.
Good.
Last call.
And, you know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now. It's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. I don't know about you guys. I'm getting sick and tired of the nicknames here for this defense. You can tell most of the players are not even engaged.
Oh, come on, Little
Earl. I heard Lawrence Guy today. He didn't want anything to do with it. But Wiggy's got some really good nicknames.
I used one of them with Bill.
Yeah, we got some more.
World War Patriots.
What?
Guardians of Defense.
I don't hate that one.
Okay.
Bah.
Masters of Defense.
Okay, well, no.
Doomsday Patriots.
You can't have the straight-up name of the team involved in the nickname.
So you're not going to like this one. Patriots Endgame. All right.
I don't like that.
The Defenders.
The Defenders.
Okay.
Straight up ripoff of the Netflix series,
just
The Defenders.
Out, just
yes.
Stealing everything.
All right. The Fantastic 11.
It's so bad. Fantastic 11.
Yep. Decepticons.
What? I can't even say it.
It's got to come from them.
I mean, I think we're
oh, zero. Keep going. Keep it down, though, which yeah. I like. I like what we're doing here. Yeah.
What if I took the Defender, which you like, and put the Defenders of Defense?
Not great.
Degeneration Pass.
No.
A nickname for the team, Legion of Belichick.
Yeah, we're going to let you go.
What about the Blue Order?
It's very difficult to come up with a nickname.
Sack Attack.
Sack Attack.
Turnover Kings.
Turnover Kings?
Okay, you don't like Kings? Okay.
DOD, Department of Defense.
DOC, Department of Corrections, are always correcting the mistakes of the offense.
I think we're actually further
Patriots.
Away from it than when
yeah.
we started.
You still think Guardians of Defense is good.
Suicide Squad.
That's DC, not Marvel.
Yeah.
Mass Mayhem.
Mass Mayhem.
Mass Mayhem.
Mass is short for Massachusetts.
D minus.
Get it?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know.
How about the Defense Royale?
You know they put mayonnaise on that, don't they?
New England's nuclear disaster.
What else you got?
New England's no fly zone.
Maybe think on it first before you call in.
Dawn of the Defense.
No. See, again, you're going horrible on us still.
These are great. I tell you what, the best one, and Keith came up with this one, is the Sticky Bandits. They get turnovers, interceptions, fumbles. The Sticky Bandits.
It's got to
perfect.
It's got to come from
them. Can be used
out
of context,
that doesn't have to come from them.
Yes.
Did the 85 Bears come up with the 85 Bears?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
People just said they didn't have a nickname.
Legion of Boom? Who came up with that?
Well, that was theirs.
Okay, it's got to come up
Crush.
With theirs. Yeah, it's got to come up with them.
Purple People Eaters?
Got to come from them.
What about the
like
Ravens?
Like the Boogeyman. It's growing on me now.
It's too bad, because Wiggy spent about 8 hours putting that list together.
I like the Sticky Bandits.
Exactly. This hour's been brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic. We got to get out of here.
By the way, I think Bill likes
gonna
me
start
more
pitching.
Than you two.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does.
I'm going to bring this up tomorrow, but there is some weird, kinky, flirting going on between
I'm
you
just
two.
I'm letting you know.
And I saw it firsthand.
He smiles at
the
you.
The eye contact.
He smiles.
The crappy grin.
He had a grin in his face like it was the funniest thing.
Tyler, you saw it, right?
Did you get an answer?
Tyler felt uncomfortable.
Did you get an answer?
Oh, no, but we're on to the Jets. But he started laughing like he said it was the funniest joke he's ever heard in his life.
I felt like I heard that song,
say good
Dream
night.
Weaver.
Say goodnight.
Right? Mutt's
all pissed off. Mutt's all pissed off.
Can we give away who his guest is?
I'm sorry, Mutt.
That's who's my boy.
A special guest tonight will be Andy Hart. Yeah!
Oh.
Yeah! Yeah, we had to do that. Mutt, it's not our fault. It's Belichick. Go bitch to him.
Bill's fault.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Don't yell at Bill.
We'll be back tomorrow. 2:00 in the afternoon. See you, boys. Mutt's next.
It's over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.